hopefully Leia makes it back from... Leia's stuck in the snow at work.
Wow.
Hopefully she makes it back. She's in Kansas City, which got hit harder than us.
Yeah, they got real hit very hard.
Yeah, so hopefully she brought food with her. Being worried about that. That she's gonna make it back after Shabbos.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, as long as she's safe. We should all be safe. And let us begin. We're going to tell you about this week's parsha. This is the bracha that Yaakov gives to his sons. It's very poetic, very hard to understand. Those of us who vaguely remember the fourth grade, we had to memorize those. Lior, do you have to memorize Brachos Yaakov? But if you look over here, here's the Sefaria on Yaakov, which is what I want to look at. And he's got...
You could ask Mira.
Ask Mira.
Mira and I both have to memorize Brachos Yaakov, or at least parts of it.
Which grade was that?
Fourth grade.
I vaguely remember having to do that. I vaguely remember not doing that and having to sit in the lunchroom. But it's very hard to understand. If you look at the Sefaria, we've got 145 Mefarshim on that first pasuk alone. It's pretty intense. So let's see if we can figure something out. This is the bracha for Yaakov. Ben Parat Yosef, Ben Parat Alayayan. And we're going to translate from Rashi, a charming son is Yosef, a charming son to the eye, Ben Parat. But Notza Adale, sure, all the girls climbed heights to look at him. And we know that that's from. He was good looking. That got him into trouble by Maro, by Rovu. And they embittered him, became enemies, antagonists by Yistamu, Balei Chitzim, and the masters of arrows. He translates the arrow-tongued man. Those who would say Lashon Hara hated him. But Teisha by Eitan Kashto, but his bow was firmly in place by Afozu Zerei Yadav, and his arms were paz, they were gilded. They were covered with gold. Mide Abu Yaakov, from the hands of the mighty power of Jacob, Mishamro Evin Yisrael, from there he shepherded the stone of Israel. That makes no sense at all. And I can assume that Yaakov's giving his bracha to Yosef, and yet that Yaakov doesn't know what happened to Yosef originally. That's a huge question. He doesn't know about the brothers selling slavery. He knows that that Yosef went out, was taken captive, ended up in Egypt in slavery. Doesn't know the full story, so I will assume by Yistameo Balei Chitzim that the arrows that struck him, Yaakov is not talking about his brothers, but about his enemies within Egypt, Egypt Potiphar and the like, the trouble that he got into there. But what is Beteshev Be'etan Kashto? And he emplaced his bow strongly. Because clearly that's not literal. There isn't any point where Yosef wields a bow. He never goes to war. So Rashi says it's as a metaphor for strength. So that last pasuk, Batesha Be'etan Kashto, he places in strength his bow. It's Batesha Be'etan Kashto, Nijashva B'chozek. It was set in strength, and Kashto is a metaphor for strength. His strength was set. And Be'afozu Zerei Yadav, his arms were covered in gold. They were gilded. Zuhini Tanat Tabat Al Yado. This is when Paro gave him the royal signet ring. That was the goal. Lashon Zahav Mufaz. The Mufaz means made of gold. Zotai Tamidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This came from the hands of Hashem. Shu Avir Yaakov. Avir Yaakov literally means the powerful one, the mighty one of Yaakov. That is an expression for God. We see that in Yeshaya. In source 4, L'chei Ne'uma Adon Hashem Tzvakot, therefore saith the Lord, Avir Yisrael, who is the mighty one, the strong one of Israel. That's Yahaz Hashem, Oyenachem Mitzari, I will get revenge on my enemies, etc. And from there, Umisham, and from there, Allah, he arose, Yosef arose, Leo Ro'e Evin Yisrael, he was a shepherd of the stone of Israel. What's the stone of Israel? Rashi says, Ikron Shel Yisrael, metaphor for the Ikar, for the most important part, the central part of Israel. Lashon Ha'Evin Harasha, the idea of the chief stone. Stone has something that has to do with the main part of Israel. that Yosef is the shepherd of them. He's providing for his family, for the children, for all of Israel. It's an odd thing that Evan Yisrael, we're used to calling Hashem the rock, right? Like Ma'oz Tzur. Hashem is the Tzuri, but clearly that can't be the case because Yosef is the shepherd of. He's providing for, taking care of the Tzur, of this Evan rather. So Evan Yisrael must be referred to the people of Israel. That's his family. So it's not parallel. It's not, we don't read it as Midei Avir Yaakov, from the strength of Yaakov, Mishamro Evan Yisrael, from the shepherd of Evan Yisrael, of the rock of Israel, that these are parallel statements. Because of God, parallel to because of God. No, it's because of God that he is the shepherd for Israel. So Ibn Ezra tries to figure out, what does Evan mean here? Says, Ibn Ezra kind of like Rashi says, it's a metaphor like the meat of the matter. Like in English, meat, this is the stone, the rock, okay, Tam Evan, ke etzem adabar, the essence of the thing. He supported, he was the Ro'eh, the shepherd, the essence of Israel. Ramban says similarly, and connects it to the Pasuk in Hallel, that Israel is called the Evan Masu'a Bonim. That's the metaphor, that there was a rock that was rejected by the builders. Haytal Rosh Pina, they became the chief, the cornerstone. That's why that's what Israel is. The rock that was rejected became the cornerstone. This one has a little bit different way of looking at it. It says that it's Midei Avir Yaakov. It's not talking about God. It's Midei Avir Yaakov means that Yosef becomes the Roeh of Yisrael, the shepherd of Israel, because of the strength literally of Yaakov himself. And that's what gave Yosef the strength to survive when they were the enemies by Mro, by Rovu. And that's why he had the strength to be able to support them when they come down to Egypt. And then Evan is a metaphor for permanence or for value. This is a sephora. Midei Avir Yaakov is because of the mighty one of Yaakov. Umnam zot hatzalah v'hatzlacha, that Yosef's success and his survival became Haita Midei Avir Shel Yaakov, because of the strength of Yaakov himself, who gave Yosef the strength. Shemekayem et banav, that Yaakov supported his children. That allowed Yaakov is telling Yosef, it allowed you to survive here, from all your enemies, that they headed you, they made your life miserable, and misham, from that, from this benefit that you got from your father, that you learned from your father, you were Roeh Evan Yisrael, who Yosef is Roeh Yisrael, he supports shepherds Israel, that they exist like a precious stone. Evan here, precious stone, or biltiyakar, or maybe it doesn't mean a precious stone, but mikayemet, that is ongoing, that exists forever. That's the image of the rock. Israel resists forever because you, Yosef, are the Ro'eh, the shepherd, and that comes from the strength of Yaakov from me. And he quotes the pasuk in Daniel about the Evan as a symbol when Daniel has this vision of the of Nebuchadnezzar. And the statue made of gold and silver with feet of iron and clay, and exerat Evan di lo bidin, that this stone that was cut off, but not by human hands, umachad salman, wiped out the statue. That's reading Evan as the stone is some kind of metaphor for importance, for permanence. That's fine. That's what we call Bnei Yisrael as a whole, Evan Yisrael, the stone of Israel. That's right. The Rashbam takes
it. What about keystone?
And that's right. That's the Ramban reading it as parallel to Evan Masu Abanim Haital Rosh Pina. That's what a Rosh Pina really is, like the keystone of the arch.
Yeah, locking the whole together.
Right. And it's a nice metaphor. It doesn't necessarily go with the bracha, which is just about Yosef, how Yosef supported all Bnei Israel, and then it goes on to say how he will continue to be fruitful in Eretz Israel. So the Rashbam takes Evan a different way. Says that we're reading it wrong. Evan is from the root of. It's the noun, collective noun. The nun there makes a collective noun for father, for family. It's like father about the land. It would translate in the German as the Volk, but that is too much of a Nazi connotation there. So that's the idea of what we call the Am Yisrael. That's where he puts Evan. Roa Evan Yisrael. What's Evan? It's Mishpachat Yisrael. Evan Yisrael means the family of Israel.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Shekilkil Yosef supported his father and his brothers, and Evan is Loshon Av. Evan Umishpacha, the Evan is from the root of Av, fatherness. Nun Yitera, the Nun is not part of the Shoresh, it's part of the grammatical construction. Kmo Nun Shel Shigaon, Beiravon, other collective nouns. Evan is being a poetic word for, but not fatherhood to say being a father. I don't know how you would translate fatherness. Except the people, descendants of, or Mem She Rekam, or Kinam, that these kind of Nun or Mem makes it a collective noun. And that's exactly the way Unklus translates it. That's not original with the Rashbam. Unklus translates this last part of the Pasuk of Did Memre, and it was by his words, by Hashem's power that you, Zan, that Yosef was able to, Zan, give Mazon to, was supported, Avihan Uvenan, the father and children, Zarat Yisrael, for the children of Israel. And Rashi explained that Evan Yisrael, Lashon Notrikon, it's an portmanteau words put together of Avu Ben. Evan Yisrael is Avu Ben, Avahanu Venin, Yaakov Anav. Shamru Evan Yisrael, there he supported the family, the nation of Israel. And the Targum Yonatan, which I'll call the Targum Pseudo Jonathan, because we know that it's not really written by Yonatan ben Uziel. It was mislabeled that. Targum Yonatan is actually on Nevi'im, but there was a Targum Yerushalayim that was printed as Tuf Yud, and people assume that was Yonatan. So it gets reprinted in the Chumashim as Targum Yonatan. So I sound smart when I say Pseudo Jonathan, very academic. But that's a Targum written in the late Gaonic times, so about year 1000, very Midrashic, and it puts both of those two meanings, Evan meaning stone and Evan meaning family, it puts them together. Umitaman zaka lemehevi parnasa, and from there Yosef was, okay, he had the merit to be the parnas, to be the supporter of the people of Israel, udichabra, and to be joined begiluf shemahan, and when their names were engraved, alba nidistra, on the stones of Israel. We're taking that stone as literally, that he was part of the stones of Israel. What's the stone of Israel? That's the Choshen. When the Kohen Gadol has the breastplate, it's got all the names of the tribes. Asita Choshen Mishpat Maseh Choshev, Kamaseh Efot Hasena. You're going to make this Choshen, this breastplate, just like the apron. Zahav Techel Magaman, etc. By gold and blue and purple wool. You have stones with the names of Bnei Israel, Shtem Israel, Shmo, some, all 12 of them in order with their name, Ptuchechotam, engraved into the stones, Ishal Shmo, each one with their names, Tiena Shnem Shnea Sar Shavet, for the 12 tribes. Nasa Aaron Shmot Bnei Israel, Bechoshim Mishpat, Ali Bo, and Aaron will carry the names of Bnei Israel engraved on these stones over his heart. Well, of course, when he goes to the Mishkan, Zikaron l'fnei Hashem tamid, as a memory for Hashem, before Hashem always. So Yosef, in the eyes of the Targum Yonatan, is both the Parnas to the family of Israel, and he is part of the Evan Yisrael. He is engraved on the stones. And that goes back to a famous Gemara. We all know this. The Agada that this is being described, that Yosef is talking, that Yaakov is talking to Yosef, telling him that you survived because of the strength of Yaakov, and that allowed you to be engraved in the Choshen. That's the Gemara in Sota. Yosef, Maihi, what happened to Yosef? When it says, Vahi Kayom Azeh. It was on that day. He's a slave in the house of Potiphar, and the day came by Vo Baita Lasot Malachto, and he went to the house where Esha Potiphar was to do his malacha. And we see from here that he's going into the house. Both he and Isha Potiphar had in mind to commit a sin. That this was, he had finally fallen victim to her constant pushing him with her blandishments. He's going to actually have an affair with her. And Rabbi Shmuel had an argument about what he went when he says lasot mlachto charam or lasot mlachto mamash. So he went into the house initially, at least just to do his regular work. Charam or lasot tzrachav nichnas. He was going to meet his personal needs, shall we say? And that's Tosfot said lasot tzrachav. We've seen the pasuk nirem. It seems to be mishum hotziu blashon bia that uses vayavo habaita, language of bia. We know what the bia means, having marital relations. Have relations with her. That was his intention. He went that day. And then what happened? I'm very hesitant to translate this because it takes Batesha Be'etan Kashto in a very explicit metaphor. Rashi quotes it, and we're all adults here, so we can handle this, right? And Gemara continues. But she grabs him by his clothing and says, "Shechva mi, lie with me." Botasha. So he's prepared to do the act with her. But the kanosha aviv nibrata lo b'chalon. He had a vision of his father appeared in the window. Amar lo. And this vision of his father, Yaakov appeared to Yosef and said to him, "Yosef, atidin achicha, achecha, she yikatvu al." Avnei Ephod, Batabenehem. In the future, your brothers are going to be engraved on the stones of the Ephod, and you'll be their part of them. Do you want your name to be erased? Not be part of Bnei Yisrael? B'tikrat, instead of being the Ro'eh Eben Yisrael, the one who is a shepherd as part of the stones of Israel, you'll be called the Ro'eh Zonot, the shepherd of prostitutes. This is to translate that better as pimp. That's a line from Mishlei. Ro'ezonot will lose all benefit. Yeah, so that's when he had this vision of his father. And I think that's the right way to read even Pshat in the Pasuk. He's going to do this, but then he holds back because he has a memory of what Yaakov meant. But immediately that's what happened. But Teisha Be'etan Kashto, that Yaakov is describing this as he held his bow in strength. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishumer Meir, Sheshava Kashto Le'etano, that his keshet, taking as a metaphor of the male organ, returned to its original strength. He lost that desire. Vayafozu Zerei Adav. And what is Vayafozu? Not paz, as in his arms were gilded, were covered with gold from the tabat, from the rings, but translate pozu as sort of like pozu, that's spread out. The Itzya Dov Bakarka, this is Gemara, he held his hands in the ground. Yetzah Shichpat Zaro Bibetin Tipornei Yadav. And his Shichpat Zara spurted between his fingers. That's how close he was to committing this Avera. And then when he held himself back, Midei Avir Yaakov, that came from the strength of his father. And Migaram Lo Shechekek Al Ave Ephod. What allowed him to be engraved onto the stones of the Ephod? Ella Avir Yaakov, the strength of his father. That's what his vision of his father came. And Misham Ro'eh Ben Yisrael, and that's why he was Zocher. He had the merit to be able to be the supporter of the rest of Eben Yisrael, of the family of Israel, be part of the Choshen, be engraved into the stones there. Misham Zachav Naseh Ro'eh. That's when he became the shepherd, the supporter. It says, Ro'eh Yisrael Hazina, when in Tehillim, it asked Hashem, who's the Ro'eh Yisrael, to listen to us, Nohag Katzon Yosef, support us just the way Yosef supported us in Egypt. Like I said, very explicit image over here. Now I go back. Why was that so important? What happened at that moment? And what was it? What would it mean to his that he has this vision of his father telling him, you're going to be engraved on the stones of the Ephod? What was leading up to that moment? Yosef's in Egypt. He's all alone. He's the good-looking kid, chief servant of Potiphar's house, and his master's wife keeps pushing him. Vayema'en, and he refused. Vayomer Elishadav Nav, and he tells his mistress, Hena Niyoli Da Ikim Ababayim, that my master doesn't know anything about going in the house. I'm in charge of everything. And in a gadol b'bayit hazeh, many, no one is more important than I am. Lo chasach mimeni muma, and he has not held anything back from me. Himo tachba asher at yishtel, except for you. I have explicit instructions. I can't go near you. Ech eset harah gadolah hazot b'katim elokim. And how can I do this terrible, bad thing and sin to God? And his resistance is twofold. There are two things there. Ech eset harah gadolah is talking about betraying his master, right? He said, right? Potiphar said, ki matach b'asher at yishto, don't go near the ancient Potiphar. And then the second thing is betraying Hashem. The laws that I learned, I'm servant of God, I can't do this act with you. And then as he kedabra el Yosef Yom Yom, she talks to him every day continually, lo shema le, le shkav etzla, and he refused to go to lie with her, to even be with her. Until that Yom Hazeh, where it breaks down. Because at some point, that resistance based on, I'm not going to betray Potiphar, I'm not going to betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, isn't enough. Rabbi Shulman made the point that in the eyes of this Gemara, that what stopped him was not that his vision of his father telling him you can't sin against Hashem, but what holds him back is his vision threatening that he's not going to be part of the family. You're going to be out of the list of Bnei Yisrael that's engraved in the Choshen. You're not going to be part of Bnei Yisrael anymore. You're going to give up, figuratively and literally, being part of the Evan Yisrael, the stone, the family of Israel. That's what that act would do if you go through with it. And why is that one so important, right? Mm-hmm. When he pulls himself back. And I think the answer is because he could have said yes to Esha Potiphar, and that would be accepting the ethical system of Egypt. That I strongly think that no one would have blinked an eye. That's what Egypt's all about. No one blinked an eye if he had actually had an affair with his mistress. That'd be okay. I'm sure Esha Potiphar had lots of involvement with her good-looking servants. That's what everyone does. That's what Egypt's all about. And Hashem explicitly says that when it talks about the Arayot in Vayikra, in Surah 17. You should not do all the things that were done in Egypt. And look like Eretz Canaan, where I'm bringing you, lotasu, don't do those acts either. You need to keep my commandments. Don't do like the Egyptians do. What do the Egyptians do? Isha kosher erbisaro, lo tikuru, lo grot egba, the incest, al eshet emidecha, lo titain shechav tal zara, and to commit adultery. So Egypt there, right? They're fine. And the Midrash actually says that Potiphar didn't want Yosef with his wife because he wanted Yosef for himself. That's the Bereshit Rabbah, lemeid shelo lacho elo letashmish. That's what Potiphar bought him for in the slave market for in the first place. And you look closely, what upset Potiphar when he finds out about when his wife accuses Yosef of coming to her, it's not anything that Yosef had done, but it's the fact that his wife is making a public show of it. It makes him a laughing stock. Just keep it quiet, we'll be okay. It says, that's what the pasuk says. When his master heard what his wife had said, lovely, more that he said, that your slave did these things to me. That's when he got angry, as the Barbanel puts it. He was so worked up. And put him in jail. Jim Loyo says that, because if he didn't do this, he would have been embarrassed, publicly shamed. American, because his wife was talking like that. And so Yosef is in this position. He's in exile. He's expelled from his family. And right there, he has the option of accepting the Egyptian definition of morality. He and Esha Potiphar are two consenting adults. Nothing wrong, nothing inherently wrong with that. We could work around with Potiphar. And he could have said, okay, that's it. I'm not part of Knesset Yisrael. I'm going to be a good Egyptian. And that's part of this idea that Yosef is all alone for this time. This is the way Rabbi Liebtag put it. That Yosef convinces his family to abandon him, accepts his fate, decides to lead his own life. Just Esav establishes himself in Edom. Yosef will make himself a name for himself in Egypt, even bring the name of God into society's own way, despite not being part of the chosen nation. He can be a good Egyptian, a moral, ethical Egyptian, which includes having an affair with your mistress. And the names he gives his children reflect that. What does he call his kids? Yosef Yolad Shnei Banim, B'Kerem Tavosh Natarav. Yosef has two sons before the famine comes. Ashel Yodolo Asnapa, Phara, that his wife Asnap. Four, they cry at Yosef Echem Bachor Menashe. Calls the oldest one Menashe. What does Menashe mean? Kinishani Elokim Akol Amaliv Akol Beit Avi. But Hashem has caused me to forget all my suffering and my Beit Avi, my family. It's gone. It's over. I'll live with that. I've forgotten since I don't remember it happening, but I've achieved closure. It doesn't affect my life anymore. Hashem Hashani Kara Ephraim. He's called the second one Ephraim. Yifrani Elokim Be'eres Ani. Hashem has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering, of my torture. That's a new person. But Yaakov is reminding Yosef here in his bracha, as Yaakov is dying, that's not what happened. He doesn't actually forget, cut himself off from the rest of Knesset Yisrael. When the push came to shove, he was still part of that family, that Eben Yisrael. And so that's why he was allowed to become the role of Eben Yisrael, is because he's still part of that Eben Yisrael, that family, the Am Yisrael, the family. He doesn't actually leave it. And makes the point that being part of the Jewish nation, it's not tied to the land, or even really genetic, but it's to the values. And Yosef had that vision of the Avir Yaakov, the strength of Yaakov, that he was still going to keep to the rules and still being part of that family, kept those values. And that's why he supported Bnei Yisrael in Egypt. And that's why Bnei Yisrael could survive and not be assimilated into Egypt over the next 210 years. And that's why I would understand his bracha. And I will stop the recording here.